Good morning, church. We're all going to wait for Marv and Billy to finish visiting. Are y'all through? It's okay? It's okay to move forward? Okay, I got a thumbs up. Good to see everyone this morning. Are you out there? Is this on? But if you've been traveling through the Psalms with us through Lent, this yesterday ran across, we read Psalm 91. I just want to read two verses that really struck me yesterday. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And so as I was thinking about that psalm, I reflected back several, I guess it's 2010. Several of us from the church went to the Holy Land. We were on the Mount of Olives looking down over Jerusalem really close to the spot where Jesus was when he said this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Show that. Anybody chicken farmers? Anybody raise chickens growing up or anything? Okay, we got a few chicken farmers. That's okay. It's okay. We still love you. Show us that, Jason. You ever see that? You ever see something like that? That, the heart of God for you is to gather you under his wings and to protect you, to love you, to care for you, to provide peace to you. That's the Jesus that we should be sharing. Not this God that scolds us when we mess up, but this God who wants to cover us and protect us and love us and comfort us. That's the God we worship this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you indeed cover us with your love and your peace and your comfort and your protection. Would we receive you in that way? Would we gather under the protection of your wings? We love you. We thank you for all you have done, are doing, and will do for us. May our praises please you. We lift high the name above every name, Jesus. And it's in that name we pray. Amen. Welcome. I want you to encourage you to rise if you're able as we worship. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Worship with us.
Forgive us as we forgive. right here in my heart.
The children would come forward to see Miss Carlene.
Got my bat today. I'm ready. Thank you, Miss Linda. All right. Hey, guys. You're going to find out why I have a baseball bat, but I also have some other things, too.
Oh, baseball.
And baseball, yeah. Good morning. You play baseball. Well, good. What do you think I'm going to talk about today?
Baseball.
That's right. Good to see y'all this morning. We are. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball, softball, and all this stuff I brought. So, as we were talking, I brought all of the equipment so that you can play baseball, right? Or softball, right? Is all of this stuff important? Do you need this to play the game? Yes, because if you didn't have a glove, could you catch the balls? No. If you didn't have a bat, you can't hit the ball, right? And then I do have a ball in there. So, all right, and I do have a ball. So I thought yesterday, as I was sitting out at the ballpark, my granddaughter's playing in a ball tournament this weekend. So we were sitting at the ball field yesterday, and I was just sitting there thinking about God and just how the beautiful weather and just thinking about my children this time. And I was thinking, what can I share? And God said, talk about softball. Talk about baseball. I was like, what? Talk about softball and baseball? How do we know? How can I talk about that? And guess what? He gave me some words to share. And so I thought I would bring you all the equipment, okay? And did you know that everything that I brought today will help us learn about God? Have you ever thought about that? Did you know that that could help you? This can help you learn about God? No? Well, guess what? We're going to learn about that, okay? So first of all, we're going to start with my ball. If you'll notice, the ball has all this stitching. And it just goes around and around and around, and it keeps going and going and going and going. It never stops. There's no end, and there's no beginning. Did you know that? And you know what this reminded me of? God's love for us. It never ends. It keeps going and going and going. Did God love you yesterday? Does God love you today? Is God going to love you tomorrow? Yeah, does his love keep going and going and going? Yes, it does. And no matter what's going on in our lives, God loves you. Can y'all remember that? God loves you. So, yeah, so a baseball can remind you that God's love is everlasting. So, yeah. So then, let me put this one down. So then, put my baseball up there. Maybe it'll stand. So then we have a bat. What do you do with a bat in a baseball game? You hit the ball. Then you hit it. That's right. Does everybody get a turn to hit the ball?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Do what, Miss?
Depends on what league.
What league you're in. So everybody should get a turn to hit the ball, right? So you get up there and you're gonna swing that bat, and you swing and you miss. And you swing and you miss. And those are called strikes, right? And when you get three strikes, you are out. But guess what? Are you out of the game?
No.
No. Do you still get to play?
Yeah.
Do you get to bat again?
Yeah.
You can make mistakes in baseball, and you still get to play in the game. Do you know that when we make mistakes in our lives, when we sin and we are disobedient, does God still love us? Does he forgive us? Are we still part of him? Is he still part of us? Does he look at us and go, you're out of here? No. So can we get out? Can we strike out? Say we strike out and make mistakes and sin every day. But does God still forgive us?
Yes.
So did you know that when you're out there and you've got the baseball bat, you can remember that God still loves me even if I strike out? Because I'm playing baseball, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be striking out. I can't hit the ball. So anyway. So then, in softball, baseball, in other sports, you're on a team. Did you know that? You have a team of players out there. You have a catcher, a pitcher, and all the basemen and outside people, outfield people, sorry. And you have all those people out there, and you have a team. And you have to play together, and you have to encourage one another, and you have to support each other. Because the catcher's not the only one that's important, is it? Because if that batter gets out there and they hit a ball out in the field, who has to go get it? The fielder has to go get the ball? Yeah. So we are on a team. Did you know we're on a team? Maybe not a softball team or a baseball team, but we are on a team and we have a coach. Do you know who our coach is? Huh? Who?
Jesus.
Does he coach us? Does he teach us? Does he teach us how to play the game? Come on, Trip. Does he show us how to live each day? Does he encourage us? Does he support us? Is he with us always? Is that what a coach does? Yes. So is Jesus our coach? And are we on that team? Are we on a team together? So as we come together, can we support each other? Do we support each other and help each other? Yes. And do we tell others about Jesus? Yes, we do. So are we on God's team? Yes, we are. So when we are on God's team, all of this, we can remember to love God and to serve him and know that his love is everlasting. And if we strike out, we're not out of the game, and that we're on a team together to love and to serve and to learn from God. Can y'all remember that? Okay, and it says in Psalms 25:4, it says, "Show me your ways, Lord, and teach me your path." Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that we're on your team, Lord, and that we're never out, that we're always on your team, and that you teach us and love us and show us the way, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Can you...
A little trip, having a good day. You know, our pastor's going to preach Psalm 8. Sorry, I got lots of psalms on my mind. The second verse is from the mouth of infants and babes I've ordained praise. Man, he was engaged. I don't understand. I don't understand that, but I believe that was of the Lord. Amen. See, you agree on it. Well, good to see everybody. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into this service through our app if you had that on your smartphone. So today is the last day we're going to go through the insert in your bulletin, the ministry opportunity insert, opportunities to serve. And we've covered three or four of these for the last three Sundays, and today we're going to wind that up. Kitten calls this the March Madness of ministry, March Ministry Madness Month or something like that. So this morning, I'm going to speak about a little more in depth about the prayer team needs. Kitten's going to share about the houses for healing needs. Kitten, you want to go ahead and come up, please? And then Linda Higginbotham's going to share about getting connected with the food pantry. So Kitten, share what's on your heart.
Thank you. Glad to see everybody today. If you will, take out that little insert and hold it in your hands, right? Because you're going to pray over it, and God's going to call you to mission work in our church. This is our last week to talk about all the ministry opportunities for each of us in our church, such a great, loving church. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Houses for Healing. You guys have been so faithful in helping, either working or through financial gifts or prayer. That ministry continues to grow. We have two houses now. If you're new to our congregation, these are houses that are provided for free of charge to anybody that's coming in from out of town for surgery or rehab or chemo treatments. Or we've had somebody that lost a house in a fire. I mean, we had a million ways to serve in the last, I think we started in 2018. The Brown County house, which is our first house, is being refurbished. We're getting a new shower and then a new AC unit, so it'll be a little more efficient. But we still have the Knox County house that we're serving right now. And there are three different ways that you can serve besides prayer and finances. One is through meal preparation. One is through transportation, and also through cleaning. The meals is ongoing, right? Because we have a fellow in there now, and he needs meals two or three times a week. A lot of people say, well, I don't have that time to commit. You don't have to do it every day, right? So, and you don't have to cook a home-cooked meal. You can bring a burger, and just the main thing is the connection and the fellowship with the people in the houses, because they need us. They need much more than just plain old food. They need the sustenance of fellowship and grace coming from somebody that loves on them. The transportation team is important when we use it. In fact, right now, the guest in the Knox house does need transportation to and from the hospital for his treatments, and so we need that. Can you drive? Can you spend a moment and take about 10 minutes to drive over and back with them? It's just such a huge need. And then cleaning obviously doesn't come except when we the guests leave the house. So anytime you sign up to participate with Houses for Healing, your name goes on a list. We send out an all call. It's nothing that you have to do every week or even every month, just when can you serve. So think about that. Pray about that. It's such a beautiful ministry. We've seen, we've witnessed birth. We've witnessed marriages. We've seen baptisms. We've witnessed even losing our sweet little residence to death, but into the arms of Jesus. So it's the full picture of what we do as Christians. So it's my favorite ministry, although there are many on that sheet which you can serve. I'm reminded that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that we are all members of one body. We all have different gifts. Each of you has a spiritual gift that you're called to do. One of these needs is on your list. I know that. So I think Billy told me last week that 20 people have joined new ministries. So today we're going to get 50 more. I know that's going to happen. So pray about what God's calling you to do. We are called to love God, love others, and offer Christ. That way to offer Christ is on that sheet for you. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I'm Linda, and I am the food pantry coordinator for our volunteers here at church. We volunteer at the Methodist Food Pantry. It's on North First Street. It's one of the larger pantries in town. I think on average they serve around 1,000 individuals each month. So our dates that our church serves is the third Tuesday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. And then when there is a fifth Tuesday, we also serve on that day from 6 to 8 p.m. So some of the things that we do, we bag up the groceries and load them in shopping carts, and then we push the shopping carts out to the clients' cars and load their groceries in the car for them. And if standing for 2 hours bagging groceries isn't your thing, we also need someone that'll sit at the front desk and welcome those that come in and take down their information. So it's not a monthly commitment. It's just serve when you can. What I do is I will send out an email to all of my volunteers the week before and just asking you to respond if you can help out that month. And if you can, you respond that you'll be there, and then you just show up on Tuesday. If you can't help out, that's okay. You don't even have to respond to the email. Typically, I like to have around 7 volunteers. Is a good number to get everything done on a Tuesday night. And so it's an easy way, it's a fun way to help those that are in need and get to know other people from the church because we chat while we work. So if that's something that you think you might be interested in, just mark that on your little insert and I will add you to my list and I will reach out to you. So thank you.
Thank you, Kid, and thank you, Linda, for that. Just a quick couple of thoughts about the prayer team. On Sunday mornings, we have a group of people that are committed to the early service and the late service. They'll have purple name tags on that'll say prayer team. And one of their first responsibilities is to pray over the praise team before the service starts. And then they're available for prayer anytime during the service. These are people that we trust, and these are people you can trust if you have a prayer need. I encourage you to seek those out. And also we have that prayer team praying after the service for people as well, and we do that every Sunday. Also, we have someone that is interceding specifically for the service itself, and they're either in the prayer room, which is located on the front side of the building towards the west end. They're either in the prayer room or they're in the sanctuary praying, because some people feel like they need to get a feel for the room, if that makes any sense, while they pray. And so you can get connected that way as well. I think that rotation comes around once every 3 months, something like that. I'd have to talk to Cindy McCorn about that. She organizes that. You can get on our email prayer team. We've got 57 people right now that's part of that prayer team. And we get prayer requests almost daily. If you'll flip over your bulletin on the back side, the section that says prayer request is what's come into our church since last Thursday, Thursday before last, up through this Thursday when we printed our bulletin. So sometimes that's 5. I think there's 9 today. Sometimes that number's 15. And so those come into us. I send those out to the email prayer team. I give updates through the week, so everybody will know what happened with this particular person's surgery and et cetera. So that's an easy way to get connected. That team on the 10th of the month, on the 20th of the month, they pray for pregnancy resources, which that's our commitment day to pray for that ministry. And then we pray for the persecuted church on the 30th of the month. And then our monthly prayer focus for our city is on the 10th of each month. And that's a different list of, different list of people. So you can get connected there, and you might say, well, how can I get connected there? Well, this is your lucky day, to be honest with you. We have a slot from 4:30 to 5 p.m., 30 minutes, just praying for our community. There's prayer points that are sent out, and looking for someone who might be stirred to do that. There wasn't anybody in the early service, but I guaranteed them somebody in the second would feel that. So I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but let's see if that works out for me. Anybody? Any takers? 4:30 to 5. Okay. I'll keep looking. Pardon me? It'll be on the 10th of every month. 4:30 to 5 p.m. Pardon me? Well, can't guarantee how that's going to work out. I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep praying into that. We got some time until the 10th of April, so we'll get that filled. You know, lots of opportunities to get connected in prayer. You know, that's something that we are kind of commanded to do in Scripture. We're told to pray without ceasing, and we don't have to be part of this prayer team to do that. But I believe that a praying church is a healthy and a powerful church. You'll agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So let's continue to pursue the Lord in prayer. And let's stand at this time and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Also, my pastor reminded me that we pray on Mondays at noon here in the sanctuary. You're always invited to that. Just real quickly, I need to talk about the schedule for the next three or four weeks. Palm Sunday is next Sunday. And we will have our early and late services with a brunch and our egg dash in between the two services. It won't last long. If you blink, you'll miss it. And I'm praying for a very windy day because it blows the eggs across the yard. It's a little more challenge for the kids to pick them up. It's a lot of fun on windy days. If you can bring something to the brunch, some kind of casserole or egg dish, that would be awesome. Our Easter drama is April the 1st. This year it is going to be a journey through the gospel in song. So there'll be lots of singing. There'll be some participatory singing as well. We'll have a meal at 5, and then that will start at 6:15, and there's no ministries that night. And then on Good Friday, the 3rd at 6 p.m., we're having a movie night, and it's a documentary on the Shroud of Turin. And really interesting. I've watched that. And there's strong scientific evidence that the Shroud of Turin actually is perhaps the shroud that Jesus was wrapped in when he was placed in the grave. He didn't stay there, by the way. Amen. Hallelujah. No. So that's on Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, the 5th, we'll have an early and late service. And we will have Sunday school that day. And then Sunday the 12th, but during the Sunday school time, we'll have an all-church gathering. We've had several committees in our church that have felt like it's time to move forward with construction of the new building. And so we want to give the congregation opportunities for input there. another pastor said, we're not moving forward if the church is not behind it. So that'll be an opportunity to sit in on the presentation that was given to those committees, and opportunities for feedback. No Sunday school that day. And the reason we're having Sunday school on Easter Sunday, if we didn't, that'd be 3 weeks in a row, and we don't want to lose momentum in our Sunday school classes. So, all right, lots going on. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for not just busyness, but just opportunities to reflect your glory in everything that we do. We just don't want to be a busy church just to be busy, God. We want to see you glorified. We want to see you honored. We want to connect with you through the ministries that you've called us to. We want these to be fruitful so that Jesus will be high and lifted up. So, Lord, as people continue to pray over these ministry opportunities, I pray you stir hearts. Lord, I just thank you for the things that God, that you call us to do. We just want to be found faithful. And Lord, during this season, I want to go ahead and lift up our Easter Sunday celebration. And Lord, I'm not being critical. There will be a lot of people here that day that this is their day of the year for church. Oh, Father, I pray that they connect with you. Not just in this house, but throughout our community. And Jesus, you are the answer for what ails us. You're the answer for the dysfunction in families. You're the answer for the dysfunction in our culture. And I pray that reality becomes well known on Easter Sunday. Oh, we love you so. Thank you for this time we can gather. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So if the Lord stirs your heart to give this morning, you can give online. You can drop an offering in the offering boxes by the doors. And we'll have people available for prayer after the service. I'm not sure who that might be. Joyce, is that you today? Mike Matthews and Larry Young. They'd love to pray for you. Would you guys like to pray for people today? Yeah, they're ready. So y'all seek them out. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
You know, before Pentecost, the presence of the Lord was in the temple, but you and I are now His sanctuary. Yes? God Himself, through His Holy Spirit, dwells in us. We are walking sanctuaries. That's big. It's big. If you are our guest this morning, we're glad you're here. Hope you feel the love of Christ. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit here. We are thrilled with our guests. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer at the end of the service. We'd love to meet you and get to know you. We're glad you're here. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 8. We're still making it through the psalm. You staying with me? Isn't that cool that many of us are going through those readings together through this Lenten season? Hope that you're joining us with that. If you aren't, that's not too late to jump in. Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you speak? Would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing the series through this Lenten season, the 40-day walk with the psalmist. Today's message is, Majestic is His Name, Psalm 8. You know, many of you saw the movie Apollo 13, and Jim Lovell was the astronaut that was in charge of that mission. We know that, you know the story, they were going to land on the moon, and they ended up having problems, and they ended up just orbiting the moon, slingshotting around it and heading back. But you may not have known, Jim Lovell was actually in a prior Apollo mission, Apollo 8, and their mission was in December of 1968, and their mission was to go to the moon and orbit the moon 10 times and return to Earth. And it was this mission, it was the first time that man had seen the backside of the moon. And it's also the first time that man had, after circling the backside of the moon, had come out of that and actually seen the Earth appearing as they circled around the moon. Go ahead, and this is a little glimpse of what they might have seen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And what's really, I love this. If you can read about Apollo 8, and one of the things, as they made that first orbit around the moon and they came out and they saw this image of the Earth for the very first time in that setting, guess what they read? Genesis chapter 1, the first 10 verses of Genesis 1, which we know begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They're reading those verses. I would imagine that the vastness of God and the minuteness of man was pretty relevant to them in that moment. You think? So we're going to dive in to this Psalm chapter 8. It's amazing. Apollo 8 and Psalm 8. I guess there's something going there. So the first thing I want us to see is that God is greater than we can imagine. We have these finite minds, and God is infinite. I think I messed that up in the early service, but we can only grasp what our minds allow us to grasp. God is vastly bigger than that, whatever we can grasp. Listen to this. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. You have ordained from the lips of children and infants and Trip. He's gone. Trip is his praise is gone. I'm with Billy. I don't ever take your children out because you think that's disturbing. In this, not as long as I'm up here. I love it. I love the sound of the children. How majestic is your name, Lord, in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. That word majestic, we don't really use that word that often. Other translations translate that to things like wonderful. How wonderful is your name? How excellent is your name? How glorious is your name? You want to begin deepen your relationship with the Lord. It begins with this understanding that God is this amazing, large, wonderful, excellent, glorious God. We recognize the greatness of this in the vastness of God. God's majesty fills the whole earth. Cheryl and I used to do some backpacking. I know a few of y'all also did that. And one of the things that's is always amazing to me, you can't see the sky that you see at 12,000 feet on a mountain in Colorado. You can't see that sky in Abilene, Texas. That sky doesn't exist. So many times we would go and sometimes we would lay out a blanket on the grass and just lay down and just look up at the stars because it was so amazing. You feel like you could just kind of grab a star. It was so awesome. I didn't take that picture, but that's kind of a little snippet of what it might have looked like up in the mountains. Just the vastness and the beauty of God's creation. I love this. I've shared this before, but there have been people throughout history that have tried to count those stars. Okay? So in 128 BC, a Greek astronomer named Hipparchus, he was also the father of trigonometry, and for all you math nerds out there, that doesn't impress me at all. If you're a math nerd, you kind of scare me, in all honesty. But in 128 BC, Hipparchus, he said, he estimated, I think there's 1,026 stars. And over 1,600 years later, a man named Kepler in 1600 AD, he was a German astronomer, and here it is again, he was a mathematician. He said, no, it's not 1,026 stars, it's 1,005 stars. I've counted them. Then, several hundred years later, the Hubble telescope came around. 2003, I looked this up, and the Hubble telescope had counted, and they estimated 70 sextillion stars. Now, all of us, it kind of reminds you of your bank account, a sextillion, right? And I didn't know what a sextillion was, but then I went ahead and looked it up this weekend to get the latest and greatest number, and today, some, whatever that is, 23 years after that number I got, now they're saying, no, not 70 sextillion, but 1 septillion is the current estimate? Well, we all know what a septillion is, right? Okay. You got million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion. That's a 1 with 24 zeros. Go ahead and show us that, Jason. This is 1 to the 10 to the 24th power. That's the current estimate of how many stars in the sky. That includes, scientists believe, over a billion, listen, are you listening? Over a billion galaxies. We're in the Milky Way, right? Isn't that our galaxy? Am I right? Okay. They're estimating a billion galaxies, and 1 septillion is their estimate for stars. More than the grains of sand in all the earth. That's what they're estimating. Now, if you've ever been to the beach, when you leave the beach, you're dealing with grains of sand for quite some time, right? In areas that, you know, you never know. More than all the grains of sand in the earth, that's the estimate for the star. Man, it's almost like we have a big God. He casts 1 septillion stars in the sky. And there's more. Listen to these. These are in your handout. There's so many passages that proclaim this. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Psalm 147, God determines the number of stars, here it is, and calls them by name. God has a name for 1 septillion stars. He knows them by name. Are you getting a sense maybe we have a big God? Now listen to this. God's speaking to Isaiah, and Isaiah writes this down in Isaiah 40. He says this. The Lord says, to whom will you compare me, Isaiah? To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Isaiah, look to the skies and look to the heavens. Who created all of these, the Lord says. He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Man, I think we have a big God. Our journey with the Lord, and even as we progress in our journey with the Lord, must begin understanding He's God and we're not. If God can keep track of 1 septillion stars, God is greater than we can imagine. Our finite minds can't comprehend how vast and how big and how awesome God is. And he's certainly worthy of our praise and our adoration. God is greater than we can imagine, church. Secondly, we are smaller than we think. God is vast. He is glorious. His name is majesty. And sometimes we think it's all about us, don't we? The world revolves around Jeff. But no. So David, he says this in the psalm, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, and the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you are even mindful of him? Lord, if you can do that, Lord, what am I? Who am I? How are you even mindful of me? Even to give me a flicker of a thought. And here's an important word. Yet. Yet God, the creator of the universe, thinks about you. He cares about you. He pays attention to you. He knows what's going on in your life, and he loves you. And he's proven it. God demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The same God that created a billion galaxies knows your name. If he knows the name of the stars, do you think he wouldn't know your name? God is greater than we can imagine. We are smaller than we think, and this is important. Number three, we are more valuable than we realize. David is saying, God, you made man a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made man ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. You know, I love that. And I'd really just kind of, for this message, it really kind of sunk in. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth has crowned us with glory and honor. Us with glory and honor. And I was thinking about in the United Kingdom, I'm not a big royalty guy, but Elizabeth, if you know this, Queen Elizabeth, who passed away a year or two ago, she was 25. I think it was 1952, and she's just Elizabeth. But when they placed that crown on her, suddenly she had status. She had honor. And God is saying he places that crown of glory and honor on us. On us. Why are you even mindful of me? I'm a little speck in the cosmos. You've got the universe to manage. And I'm a little speck, and yet you have crowned us, Lord, with glory and honor. God gave us humanity. He gave us dignity. He crowned us. He gave us status, importance. He's showing how important he sees us. He gave us dignity. He gave us authority. Even on this creation, this beautiful creation that he's made, he gave us authority and responsibility to manage those things. The God who made the stars thinks about you. Church, did you know that? If you ever, I have to go here. My brain, y'all, I'm a weirdo, okay? I remember an old Seinfeld. I'm showing my heathenness. I used to watch Seinfeld. George, if you ever watched Seinfeld, George is kind of a needy kind of guy. And Jerry goes out of town, and he gets Elaine to get his mail. And George finds out that Jerry has given Elaine the important job of fetching his mail, and he's offended. And he's on the phone, and he says, "Jerry, why is she?" And Jerry says, "George, I have a very important job for you. You must exercise the gaskets on the commode twice a day. Come and flush the commode so they don't dry out." You know, we struggle. We want to feel important. Flushing the commode does not make us important. Being crowned with glory from the Creator makes us important. We are indeed more valuable than we realize. The God of creation thinks about you. And fourthly, God's glory is the beginning and end of the story. Our walk with the Lord must begin with that he is majestic. That majestic is his name. Glory is his name. Wonderful is his name. Excellent is his name. We must understand that who God is and who we are. I said it in my email this week, if any of you looked at that. When I was at seminary, I was introduced to a phrase that I had never heard before, a sandwich psalm. And I was like, "Sam, you eat psalm? What? I didn't understand." No, it's when a psalm starts with a verse and ends with a verse to give emphasis to that psalm. And How does this psalm start and end? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Begins there. That's how we start this walk, understanding God is majestic, and yet he loves us. And that's also where it ends. Everything, creation, humanity, and redemption, the whole story of Jesus, it begins and ends, and it points back to God's glory, who he is. We are small in a massive universe, but we are enormous in the heart of God. He sees such significance in us that he sent Jesus. Man, that is a deal changer. That's a life changer when we get that. Just invite you to bow your heads with me. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are indeed wonderful and excellent and glorious. And you demonstrate that when we just look up at the sky. You set your glory above the heavens. Thank you for being mindful of us in the vastness of your creation. Thank you for crowning us with glory and honor. May we live it out. May we live that out, Lord. May we bring you honor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Invite you to rise. If you do not know that Jesus I'm talking about, he knows you. He knows you by name, and he wants you to come to him. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. Don't leave this place without talking to me about that.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you
so will I.
You chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you disappear, where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done, every part designed in a world. So will I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again, a hundred times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
I'm going to say this first verse and then I want you to say it with me, okay? Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Say it with me. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Say it again. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's good news, church. Good news to share. Go and tell someone. God bless.
If the stars are made to worship, so will I. So will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists and lifts you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so
hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.